Praise the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections and meditation on the messianic prophecies in preparation for the celebration of Christmas. Today we come to a very important prophecy of Prophet Micah, who foretold that the Messiah King is to be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. And we know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And we have just heard a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, telling how Herod inquired the wise men of his people, the learned rabbis, and how they found out the prophecy that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. This prophecy was uttered by Micah the prophet, one of the 12 minor prophets. The name Micah seems to be an abbreviated form of either Micaiah or Mikael. Micah means "who like," and what should follow should be either Yahweh, then you have Micaiah, or El, God, and then you have Mikael. So this is a declaration, an affirmation of the uniqueness of God. There is no one like God. Micah is a spokesperson of God. Micah is from Moresheth. The book of Micah presents him as the prophet from Moresheth. Moresheth Gath is a place some 32 kilometers southwest of Jerusalem and 10 kilometers northeast of Lachish, near the Philistine town Gath. So he was on the border. This is a very small village, not at all known, not at all famous for anything. But the area was famous for its fertility. Good vineyards were there. There was a military garrison in Moresheth Gath. Micah was a contemporary of the great prophet Isaiah, who was preaching in Jerusalem. The time of Micah is presented as during the time of kings Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Jotham ruled in Jerusalem from 740 to 736. Then you have Ahaz, who was king in Jerusalem from 736 to 716 BC. And finally, Hezekiah, who ruled from 716 to 687. So there is a span of about 60 years during which Micah preached. We don't know exactly which age, which time, or which year he was preaching, but he was during these reigns. And he was preaching not in the city of Jerusalem, but mostly among the villages. And his language is that of a farmer. He speaks from first-hand experience of marginalization, of brutalization, how the people, the weak, the farmers have been oppressed, have been pushed out of their lands, how their lands have been confiscated, and how they were forced to pay heavy taxes and sometimes forced into military service and also slavery. A person who experienced firsthand the effects of injustice. And through him, God is speaking out for justice. Micah is considered as a prophet of justice on a par with Amos. Some of his prophecies would give us a sample of what the word of God is like. For example, in the second chapter, Micah is telling the crowds, "Alas for those who devise wickedness and evil deeds on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it, because it is in their power. The wicked, the rich, the powerful make schemes, plans of exploitation. They covet fields and seize them, houses and take them away. They oppress householder and house, people and their inheritance." So this is something what was happening. The poor people have been expropriated. Their land has been confiscated or seized by force by the rich and the powerful, with the help and connivance of judges, magistrates, and kings. In chapter 3, we read, "And I said, Listen, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, should you not know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and the flesh off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people, flay their skins off them, break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a kettle, like flesh in a cauldron." Very brutal terms, expressing first-hand experience of oppression, exploitation. "Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time, because they have acted wickedly." Thus, Micah is condemning injustice, asking for justice. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12, "Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height." Destruction threatened on the house of God. This was a prophecy, a very drastic prophecy, and this was remembered even after 100 years, the time of Jeremiah. So Micah is a prophet of justice, denouncing injustice and oppression, and asking for justice, also threatening with impending punishment. But Micah is not a prophet of doom as Amos was. Micah brings also hope. Micah sees hope for the people. For example, in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, "I'll surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the survivors of Israel. Their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head." So after destruction and punishment, God will come. And this promise is repeated in various ways. For example, in chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of your possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in showing clemency. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. He will show faithfulness to Jacob and unswerving loyalty to Abraham, as we have sworn to our ancestors from the days of old." So Micah brings hope. And of this hope, we have the prophecy that we are going to analyze, an expression of concrete hope. And that comes in chapter 5, Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. That is the messianic prophecy we are analyzing now. "Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid against you. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek." This is the context of the prophecy the prophecy about the coming of a king from Bethlehem. So what is this context? Historically speaking, when did this prophecy occur? And the prophet is giving a very concrete situation that the ruler is being struck by a rod. And this we have in the second book of Kings, chapter 18. Second book of Kings, chapter 18, verses 13 to 37, narrate the invasion, or rather the siege, by Sennacherib. The soldiers of Sennacherib invaded Judea and laid siege to Jerusalem. It is in this particular context that the prophet comes. In the 14th year of Hezekiah, King Sennacherib of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. King Hezekiah of Judah sent the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, "I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I'll bear." The king is surrendering, giving tribute, expressing his willingness to give whatever the king of Assyria wants. Only the enemy should retreat from the land. A very weak position indeed. But the Assyrian king was not satisfied with this. He sent his military chief. In verse 19, the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, on what do you base this confidence of yours? Do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? On whom do you now rely that you have rebelled against me? See, you are relying on Egypt, that broken reed of a staff, which would pierce the hand of anyone who leans on it." And he continues the people to surrender. In verse 28, "Then Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, 'Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of my hand. Do not let Hezekiah make you rely on the Lord as by saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah.'" So the Assyrian general is insulting the king, challenging, threatening, and inviting the people to surrender. This seems to be a situation in which Micah comes with this hope, or somehow envisaging this kind of situation. Micah is presenting the prophecy. The city under siege, king insulted and beaten, the enemy triumphant, then comes the word. "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little cities of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days." Now, Bethlehem Ephrathah, the second same name, Bethlehem Ephrathah, two names of the same city. The city where David was born, the city of David, the small village of Judah. "From you shall come forth for me." The Lord is sending a king. Is he not a king elected by the people? Is a king to be sent by God? And the sent by God for me. "From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel." Now they are under threat from Assyria. Later on they will be threatened by Babylon or Persia or Greece or Rome, whatever be the force. But God is promising that a king will come. He will send a king who will rule in Israel, bringing justice. And his qualification is something very particular. "Whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." So this is not any ordinary king. Who is the king whose origin is from old? As with the other messianic prophecies, Here also there is something enigmatic, that something escapes our understanding. When the prophet speaks about a king, a future king of the house of David, he seems to be thinking, or God is telling us something beyond the human understanding. The origin from of old, ancient of days, something pertaining to God. It can mean that God has already planned to send this king from old, but it can also mean this particular king is of an eternal origin from ancient days. Something enigmatic, but that will become clear only when the prophecy is fulfilled. It is so always with the prophecies. The prophets do not understand exactly, completely what they are telling. They are promising something, they are forced to speak out the word of God, but their words somehow contain a meaning that is beyond their own understanding. And this meaning will become evident only in time, when God has fulfilled this prophecy. So this is another prophecy of such kind, whose origin is of old, from ancient of days. But when is he coming? The prophet does not know. It's not going to be immediately. It's not something like Isaiah 7:14, an immediate sign. The prophet is taking us beyond, into the future, into the time of God. So he continues, therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. There is time of waiting. A child will be born, but in God's time. Our time is not God's time. It is when God decides it is time, he will come. Till then, he has to wait patiently in hope. And then we continue in chapter 5, verse 4. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. This king is not a warrior. He is not going to fight. This king is like a shepherd. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. It is God who guides, it is God who sends, and it is God who leads the people. And the king is presented here as a shepherd. We will analyze this concept shepherd later. But here, the king is presented as a shepherd, as David was a shepherd, as God is shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The majesty of the name of his God, and they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Micah, a contemporary of Isaiah, shares the same hope that wars will end, that war and destruction and death has not the last word. Wars will come to an end. God will bring peace, and there will be everlasting peace on this earth when the Messianic King comes. So this is a hope expressed by Micah. And we have seen in the Gospel of Matthew that this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. People were asking, where is the Messiah to come from? And they knew the prophecy of Micah. It was not forgotten. It was treasured, and people were waiting with prayer and hope that the Lord will send the Messiah. And when the time came, he sent his Messiah, the King, and he was born in Bethlehem. So this was the prophecy of Micah concerning the Messiah to be born in Bethlehem. Now we turn to another messianic prophecy that is from the book of Zechariah. Another well-known prophecy. Let me read the prophecy first and give some explanation to it. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. A great, magnificent prophecy. Zechariah, a prophet of the post-exilic period. People returned from the exile, and Zechariah and Haggai were the prophets who were leading the community immediately after the exile. And in the book of Zechariah, we have visions concerning the future. Not the very near future, but a distant future. The prophet does not specify when it is going to be, but he sees as a vision. Sees as a vision that the Messiah King is coming. The King comes to Jerusalem, and he comes riding on a donkey. Now, it is said, a king who goes out to battle, he goes on a horse. Horse is an animal of battle, war horse. And when the battle is won and peace has been settled, the king returns. He enters the city triumphantly. Now, not on a war horse, but on a donkey. Donkey is also a royal animal, an animal that symbolizes peace. So Zechariah sees peace returning into the land, God coming to the land, the king riding on a donkey. And this has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We see in all the Gospels, Jesus is explicitly asking the disciples to bring the donkey, and he sits on the donkey and enters the town, city, triumphantly amidst the shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David. In Matthew chapter 21, we read 1 to 11. When they had come near Jerusalem, he had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So this is what happened. The prophet, about 500 years ago, had foreseen or seen in his prophetic vision the king coming to Jerusalem. And now Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy, coming riding on a donkey. Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace. He brings peace. And in order to accept this peace, one has to accept Jesus. Unless and until we acknowledge him as the one coming in the name of the Lord, as the one coming as a Savior, there will be no peace. Unfortunately for Jerusalem, even now, the city that is called the city of peace, peace is far away because people have not been willing to accept Jesus. It happened when Jesus entered the city. Luke tells us in chapter 19, verse 41 to 44, we have, "As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'Even you had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. That was in AD 70, when the Roman soldiers laid siege to the city, and finally it was destroyed, and destroyed it remains. Because you did not recognize the time of the visitation from God. It's a tragedy, a tragic possibility that still remains open to all, that we do not understand, do not realize the time, that we do not recognize the God who comes to us. Jerusalem did not realize that Jesus was the Messiah, the King, promised and expected by the people, sent by God. They could not understand, they did not realize. Even today this can happen. We are preparing for Christmas. We are preparing for the celebration of the birth of the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. But it is possible that we do not recognize His coming. We are waiting for Him, but He comes to us every day in totally unexpected ways. May the Lord open our eyes to see Him. The Lord is the Lord of peace. He brings peace. He brings wars to an end. He destroys all the weapons. That's all the prophets, Isaiah, Micah, and Zechariah. They all speak about the end of wars and destruction of weapons. But when we look around, we are seeing more and more lethal weapons of mass destruction are being amassed. Newer and newer, more and more powerful weapons are being made, and people are trying to kill each other. It is in this context that we have to pray. Pray ardently and trust in the Lord, who comes to bring peace. Jesus brings peace, and with Jesus we will have peace. He is our peace when we are ready to accept Him. Now let us open our hearts and pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all these promises You have made through the prophets and fulfilled by sending Your Son Jesus Christ. As the Messiah born in the city of David, as the one who entered Jerusalem as the King of Peace riding a donkey, bring Your peace to our hearts. Send Your Son again. Send Your Spirit to all the hearts, all the warring factions, to every human being. Send Your peace. Enable us to accept each other and accept You as the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Accept the Spirit and His enlightenment so that we may have peace in our hearts and in our world. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.